Hi, my name is Irina Kremень, and I want to welcome you to another episode of the Blue Beauty series, hosted by Jeannie Jarnot, the founder and CEO of Beauty Heroes. In this podcast series, we interview a beauty and wellness brand's founders, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders to talk about the future of beauty and how to build businesses that leave our planet better and bluer. From zero waste packaging to regenerative practices, you will discover why materials matter, how to make philanthropy the foundation of a profitable business model, and which innovative brands are leading the blue beauty revolution.
Well, thank you, Irina, for all those very kind words. It's easy to partner with people who make it very collaborative. So it's always sort of our pleasure to do things with you. And Jeannie, it's exciting to be able to have a one-on-one conversation with you and all of sort of your hard work you've done around this topic. I know we don't have a lot of time and time always flies by on these things. So I'm going to dive right in. And, you know, I'd love to know a bit about your backstory and how you arrived at your Blue Beauty mission.
Yeah, I mean, it's very organic, no pun intended. I think, you know, I started Beauty Heroes with a very simple idea to help people discover truly healthy beauty in a focused and intentional way. And it was partially inspired by my experience as a spa director and just as a woman and a consumer, and seeing us really being more conscious about our decisions and wanting to value quality over quantity. And people being overwhelmed by the amount of products they had in their life, the amount of products they had in their bathroom, feeling, you know, sort of uncomfortable with the amount of consumption that they were, you know, kind of putting out in the world. And so I think just like all of us, you know, we are all waking up to the importance of, you know, caring for our environment. And as a business owner, it goes one step further, because as a consumer, you know, you want to make responsible decisions, but as a business owner, you want to, you know, you're contributing to consumption, you're contributing to sort of the economy and to things moving around, and you want to feel like you're doing so responsibly. And so all of that sort of, you know, thought that goes into starting a business and wanting to do it in a conscious way is what, you know, it's a personal awakening. And then it's like, it's on a bigger scale when you're running a business and you're making decisions that are impacting, you know, your customers all over the world, your employees, and sort of the, you know, what you're putting out in the world. And I want to, you know, I think Beauty Heroes and our evolution has really reflected my personal evolution.
So, you know, Irina mentioned the fact that you've sort of held this series of conversations on the topic. Can you share a little about the conversations, and were there any surprises that kind of came up or recurring themes?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it was really fun to work with Irina on this, because she brought a lot of people that I didn't know about and had never heard about before in the industry. And I got to have these very fresh conversations. I brought a couple of guests to the table who I knew really well, and we could actually have deeper conversations. So sort of this combination of people that I thought were, you know, leading in the industry, and new people who I think, you know, and brands that were just, you know, wanting to do well. And I will say I had a few surprises. I think one of the ones was ACT Beauty. That's one of the ones that sticks out. That was a really fun brand to share. It's two guys who I think created product really authentically and wanted to create something really you know, I love those brands where it's like, it just makes sense. It's common sense to create, you know, for them, you could see their process. They wanted to create something that works and they wanted to create it in a way that was light on the environment. And they went, you know, they had no experience in the beauty consumer packaging goods industry. And so they created something totally different with their deodorant in a refillable tube with a gua sha stone that you can apply deodorant with. And it's just like, you know, really a beautiful product. It kind of took personal care to, it sort of elevated personal care and deodorant to a new space. And they had a great story. And that, you know, to performers, dancers, actors, you know, from the UK who launched this really successful line. So that was a great surprise. One of my other really great surprises was talking with Stuart from Bradford and kind of diving in. We spent a long time prior to our call, to our webinar, talking about solid personal care and what it really, the positive impact it really potentially can make and the possibility and opportunities there. And so that was really, really eye-opening for me. And I think, I hope more people watch that that series because it was, I think it's a trend for the future.
So, you know, I think one of the challenges around, you know, all these green, clean, blue, is that there are so many terms and categorizations, but there is no real harmonized description. So it's, it leaves it all very open to interpretation. How do you describe blue beauty?
Yeah, I mean, it's a frustration that many hold, like even the world, the biggest one is around the word natural or organic. It's not regulated. With blue beauty, I define it as efforts that brands are making to create a positive impact on the environment through their company. So it could be through product development. It could be through initiatives that they have in their company. It could be through packaging, innovation, or even education around around ingredients, products, packaging, how to use, consume smarter. So all of those things sort of ladder up together towards, and you know, I think there's the, you know, the Blue Beauty Awards, which I know we're gonna talk about a little bit, really are about celebrating innovation. We had Rachel Roberts on the webinar a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about how everybody suddenly is talking about sustainability. We've been talking about it for a while now, and it's great. It's, you know, you can't stop talking about it. People are really hyper focused on it now, and there is a lot of energy from companies to get on board and to assure consumers that they are a responsible company that's thinking about the future of our planet. And I think that's important as businesses, like I said, you know, in my own, you know, sort of awakening, we hold a responsibility to do the best that we can to, you know, for green beauty or sustainable beauty or having a sustainability program at your company, right? For example, even big companies outside of the beauty industry, that being green means really reducing your impact, minimizing your impact, doing what you can on that front. Blue takes it one step further and says, okay, well, we've really done a good job at minimizing our impact on the environment. How can we actually make a positive impact on the environment? What are the ways that we can do that in our company? And the answer to how that can take shape is endless, really. And that's what these conversations are meant to do, is to really inspire brands to look at what can we do internally to be green, to be blue. It really doesn't matter. You know, we sort of say there's a thin line between that. It's, you know, it's sort of like a it's not, you know, it's not hard and fast what's blue, what's green, but it's really about pushing the envelope and seeing how can we create a better industry, because we're all in this planet together. And that's what the series here is meant to do, is to share best practices, share inspiring conversations, and help others see what some people are doing really well, borrow that, and apply it to their own companies. And that's what the Blue Beauty movement is about. It's about, you know, pushing us all forward together.
So, you know, there's an awful lot of clean, green, blue washing that happens. Do you have any warnings for brands that are pushing the boundaries on these claims? And then sort of on the flip side of that, what advice do you have for brands that are really putting in the hard work, and how can they best communicate those efforts and really be able to take credit for them and leverage them?
Yeah, I mean, I think the warning that I would say to brands who are, you know, clean washing, green washing, blue washing, is that, you know, consumers are smart. They see through that, and they're getting smarter. And also, you know, there's, you know, people will be called out, I think, if they're by their employees, by, you know, watchdogs, whistleblowers. We, you know, you saw that quite a bit this year with the Black Lives Matter movement. Brands were really being called out for their diversity claims and inclusion claims that they made that weren't really, you know, that employees weren't really feeling were truly happening within the company. So, you know, my advice to brands is to genuinely care, and to really, you know, involve your employees in your initiatives, get them to brainstorm with you, buy into initiatives, give you ideas, participate, collaborate. And get the, you know, make it a part of your culture. Culture is so valuable within companies. And so Blue Beauty is something that everybody, your Blue Beauty or sustainability initiatives or any of the positive initiatives, those are really great opportunities to engage with your team. Because people want to be a part of a company that's doing well. So I would say, you know, don't just take action, but involve your team in that action. And you know, for companies that are clean washing, green washing, not being transparent, you know, it'll come out in the wash eventually.
It always does. That's where you go back to, like your mother always tells you to tell the truth. Well, it's real easy if you tell the truth. You don't get yourself in trouble, right?
Yeah.
So this is the second year for the Blue Beauty Awards. That's a mouthful. Can you share a little bit about the genesis of these awards and why you started them? And, you know, what kind of brands should really consider, you know, putting themselves forward?
Well, Irina started the Blue Beauty Awards. This was her idea. And she, I think, you know, when I think about what we've been working on over the last year, it's really cool to see. I think it's because, I don't know, I think there's been some women leaders who really, we feel like there is a true, genuine responsibility to the environment. For some reason, I feel like it's, you know, Irina really latched onto it. And there's a couple of other women in my life who've really said, wow, this is really great. I want to support this. I want to just be a part of the conversation. And I think that is, you know, really just encouraging. And that's what, you know, that's what I always intended with Blue Beauty on the Beauty Heroes site, was to highlight our brand, the brands that we work with, and what they were doing to contribute to the environment, because that was part of their DNA. I mean, I think that's where Blue Beauty really started, was I was working with green beauty brands. We never called them green beauty, we called them healthy beauty, but generally really, you know, sustainable, conscious brands And they were starting or and had been for years working on initiatives within their company to make a positive impact either socially or environmentally. It was just part of like what they, you know, these indie brands and founders had a reason for what they wanted to accomplish through their company. And when I sort of, the light bulb went off for me, like, oh, well, Blue Beauty is really, you know, Green Beauty has been sort of in this space for a while. We should be telling these stories. That's how I, you know, we started it on the Beauty Heroes website. But the idea was really to pull people into this conversation. And that's what I love so much about the webinar. That's what I love so much about the Blue Beauty Awards, is it's pulling people into this conversation and helping to showcase brands that are, you know, making strides, you know, innovating. I see a lot of cool things come through Beauty Heroes, which is, and I saw, I think one of the best things about the Blue Beauty Awards was I got to see a lot of innovation in this space through the submissions and through the nominations. So it's furthering the conversation and celebrating real wins. And you're going to be a judge on the awards.
Yes.
with me and Deanna Utrosky this year. So you'll see for yourself that, you know, we get to see what people are putting their hearts in and then celebrate them with the Blue Beauty Awards. And that's really rewarding.
So how does your description of Blue Beauty translate to how you evaluate brands for Beauty Heroes? You know, as an independent retailer, I'm sure there are also sort of a lot of challenges that go through, you know, I mean, navigating just what we're going through now, but you know, being an independent beauty retailer is challenging because there are a lot of people, especially online, to compete with. But you do have a unique positioning, and so what is it that you look for in the brand you partner with?
Yeah, well, I will say first and foremost, we are looking for, we're looking for innovation in this space at Beauty Heroes. So that, you know, brands who are, creating something that creates less waste, you know, almost, you know, kind of classified as zero waste, we are definitely actively seeking those types of innovations, and they've done really well at Beauty Heroes. With each brand that we launch, we evaluate, you know, packaging, sourcing, ingredients, definitely sort of a separate topic. But all of that's really considered. I think, you know, we, for our customer base, wasteful is distasteful. So anything that feels like it's overpackaged, overdone, you know, not necessary, not really essential, and down to the true, like, sort of essence of the product, that's just not for Beauty Heroes. In terms of their Blue Beauty initiatives, it's something that we don't have like a qualification or a criteria like, oh, you need to have something in place. You need to be giving back to an environmental cause. You need to be carbon neutral. You need to be carbon positive. These are all things that we're talking about with our brands. And then sort of when they, and it's really been working for us. You know, we do Blue Beauty features and what we do is we celebrate them when they happen, and they're happening at such a great clip where, you know, brands, I have three brands within the last month that have put in place a program to become plastic positive. So we celebrate those for our brands. We do the storytelling, we celebrate their initiatives, and that inspires others to take those steps. And so it's sort of had this snowball effect. Mm-hmm. Because people are like, oh, they did it. I could do it too. That would feel, you know, that would, now it's, you know, it's becoming more apparent how we can actually, you know, put these programs in place. Mm-hmm.
So I would imagine that you service a pretty conscious consumer. Can you provide some insight to what makes these customers tick and what are their non-negotiables?
Yeah. I mean, I think for the conscious consumer, like I said, you know, wasteful is just distasteful. So like if we put something out, it's happened before where we put something out and we really liked the product, but the packaging was, you know, over unnecessary, they'll comment on it and they'll comment on it publicly. So I think, you know, you have to, you know, when you're thinking about your packaging, if you're trying to market to a conscious consumer, you know, the way things are presented and, they smell BS really quickly, you know, in terms of like, if you're making a claim, but then they receive the product and it's not really following through, they can really sense that. A lack of transparency in ingredients is a total non-negotiable for this consumer. They're really smart. They're educated. And they understand the difference between different clean standards. And I think, you know, inclusivity and social awareness and embracing diversity is really a non-negotiable for this customer. If you're not, you know, we saw that this year for sure, that, you know, all of our customers were concerned about inclusivity, you know, and supporting Black-owned brands, LGBTQ owned brands, a diversity of brands. So they're really conscious of it. They're hyper aware of it, and they want to support indie brands. They want to support diversity in products. And I would say the other thing that's really really palpable is that they are focused on quality over quantity. They just really want less but better. And that's what Beauty Heroes launched with. So I think we were a little bit ahead of the curve. I remember when I started the company and we were sent doing a monthly discovery that had, you know, one full-size product and a sidekick, and it was from one brand and it was smaller, but more, you know, high value, very high value, but you know, just one thing, not a bunch of things in a box. People were, you know, would say to us, like, or say to me when I started the company, it's just me, and say, you know, what's exciting about that? That's so boring. Like one hero product and one, you know, maybe there were two products in a discovery from one brand. That's like, that's so boring. They weren't excited about that. And now it's really become the trend where it's like, hey, I want fewer things. I want better quality. I want them highly curated. And I want them from brands that actually care. And I want a curator who gets me, you know?
Yeah. You know, so I have one last question for you. And, you know, I think there's been a lot going on this year. I think this is a year that I don't think any of us will remember. I don't think any of us will want to remember it, but it will leave it's going to leave an imprint that will probably follow everyone for decades to come. But COVID-19 has really been a great accelerator when it comes to trends, both out of necessity, but I also think people are willing and open to trying new things. But on the flip side of that, we've also seen statistics where on one hand, they're willing to try new things and new products, but on the other hand, they're drawn to larger brands that they can trust. So I'm not really sure how you square those two things, but they are in fact happening in tandem. But what trends are you seeing sort of in the clean beauty space?
Yeah, I mean, I'm so interested to hear about that because I think from my perspective through COVID, you know, everything's sort of leveling out, right? We're sort of, you know, I don't know. I was just, for the first 6 months, I think I was in a perpetual state of shock that this was actually happening, right? And now I'm more in this space where I'm like, okay, this is definitely happening. This is, you know, it's really normal for me to be masking, putting a mask on all the time. I've got many masks around. It's not so foreign. And we understand that this is going to go on for a while. I think when it first hit, we thought, oh my gosh, we hope this is over in like 3 months. And then when it kept dragging on, it was just like a perpetual, state of shock. So I think through that time, like, you know, we will all, I think, remember where our headspace was and what was when we were, you know, initially locked down and we were all tuning into a lot of streaming events, conversations. Now online conversations like this are super, are very regular, but in the beginning of COVID, they were, you know, everyone was looking for connection. And I felt like there was, you know, a lot of support for indie brands. You know, I think people thought, okay, you know, people are on hard times. I want to support independent brands that I want to be around when this is over. I think people think like that. They're like, mm-hmm. You know, even here in our town, people are coming out and they're actually saying, they're articulating, you know, I really want to support you because I really want you to stay around. I really want you to be here when this lifts. And so I feel like direct to consumer, you know, that was an interesting thing for us as a retailer. We are, you know, direct to consumer became really normal and people were willing to try. I feel like they're willing to try, you know, independent brands out on their own and maybe not, you know, go around their traditional channels of shopping because they were online and, you know, they were seeing cool ads for cool things from companies that were, you know, really interesting and maybe new to them. So I don't know how you square that either. I think, you know, for me, the trends that I'm seeing is that using less is going mainstream. I think anything wasteful is distasteful. I think you're seeing that that people, you know, the mainstream is really seeing, you know, the need for us to minimize our consumption and minimize our impact on the environment and to have less stuff. And extraneous packaging really is sort of a turnoff. And, you know, not, you know, this throwaway culture is a turnoff. So I think that that's definitely a trend that I'm seeing. I think a trend that is here to stay is Black owned and supporting Black owned companies. I think through the pandemic and through the racial justice conversation and, you know, uprising that we've had in America, we've finally been able to talk about race in a new way. And it's been really, it's, you know, hopefully not going away. And it's a trend that I hope continues and that, you know, we definitely hear from our customers that they want to support Black-owned brands. They want to support brands owned by people of color, and they want to see that in our space and in every space. So there's that. We didn't talk a lot at all. We actually hadn't mentioned the conversation that I had with Loop. One of the Blue Beauty conversations. It was definitely one of the most dense conversations I had and super enlightening. And, you know, I think, you know, we said beauty and personal care need to get on board with Loop now. And I think, it, you know, in going deep with Loop, it was really, you know, I had some really real epiphanies about what I think Loop is going to be really good for. I think it's going to be good for a lot of products and not for everything. And if I had to predict, I think that we're going to be, I think we're going to be engaging with loop and refillable products a lot faster than we think we are. And I think the thing that I really felt, I'll call it here, is that I think Amazon will acquire Loop. I think it makes total sense. And I think that we'll be engaging, we'll soon be getting a lot of products in a refillable circular packaging format and be, putting it out with our Amazon. We'll be receiving it through Amazon and putting it out for Amazon to pick up. And then the last one that I'm personally super excited about is solid personal care. That was really inspired by, my conversation with Bradford, the Blue Beauty conversation that I had, and really seeing the potential for solid personal care and the relevance it has in our lives. And I think that was a surprise for me. And I think that's definitely, we're going to be seeing a lot of innovation in that space.
Yeah, the whole refillable thing, it's really interesting because the conversation has been going on for a long time, but it feels like in the past 6 months, there has been sort of this tipping point where the adoption is becoming faster. And maybe that's also because like P&G just rolled out a program with Asda in the UK, refillable in one of their stores. Amore Pacific did it in a store in South Korea. So, once you sort of see it happening from the big beauty brands, it makes it more possible for small brands to do it efficiently too. Irina, you're here. We're getting the hook.
We keep them, this conversation shorter because, we are spending more and more time online. But, thank you, Kelly, and thank you, Jenny, to talk a little bit about what you say is such a little small part, that we've been having a lot of good conversations and we invite you to the Beauty Influence Network, to see all the past videos as well. I'm super excited about the upcoming awards. I'm super excited about you guys judging the Blue Beauty Awards.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you would like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, and leave a rating and review. To catch all the latest from the Blue Beauty series and to meet some of the speakers online, join Beauty Influence Network. Thanks again, and I will see you next time.